It's All Things Considered. I'm Jen White. Republican Congressman Mike Rogers represents Michigan's 8th District. He also serves as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Recently, he held the annual open hearing on worldwide threats facing the U.S., and he joins us now. Mr. Chairman, welcome to the program.
Jen, thank you so much for having me and your interest.
So what would you identify as being the biggest threats to U.S. security right now?
Well, it's really two different levels, and that's what's so hard to answer that question. You have a broader strategic threat, which I would argue is the just absolutely overwhelming capacity of our foes to commit acts of cyber espionage against intellectual property here and develop capabilities for cyber attacks that many believe will be a catastrophic event for us in the United States. And at the same time, we still have that ongoing threat from terrorism that we have to pay attention to.
As you're assessing the threat of cyber attacks, do you see ways the U.S. can prevent that from happening?
Yeah, I do. And the one thing that's bipartisan, and I work very closely with my Democrat ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, and we developed a bill that will allow information sharing between our national security agency, and they're the ones that try to figure out what places like China and Russia and Iran and others are up to when it comes to bad things targeted against America, and allow them to share that information with the private sector in a way that helps protect as many networks as we can possibly get covered. And it's really a very simple bill, but that would be an important first step, because sometimes we know what that attack looks like, but we can't share it because of the way it was collected, the source of how we collected it, the method of how we collected it. So this would be just a little bit of a turn, and I argue it's a way for the United States to pull the sheet that covers .mil, military domain, and .gov, the government domain, and pull that sheet up over .com and give our private sector networks at least a fighting chance to stop some of this.
Are other nations willing to participate in that kind of information sharing?
We think so, and we have to get it right here first, and why we have to lead on this is that no other nation is as integrated on the net as the United States. I mean, everything from your phone is being turned into your credit card, to just online banking. I mean, everything that you can even turn on and off your alarm system from your laptop at work, all of that is integrated in a way in the United States that really isn't duplicated anywhere else, including Europe.
Let's switch focus a little bit. You've expressed a high level of concern over Iran's pursuit of a nuclear weapon. You think the U.S. needs to do more to dissuade them from that pursuit. So what do you think the U.S. should do?
I think they need to make it very, very clear, even though we don't want this to happen, very, very clear to the Iranians that military action is on the table when it comes to their nuclear weapon program. I think that they need to be more out front and more outspoken internationally. The president needs to use the bully pulpit to talk about sanctions and getting more people involved. I think we need to directly raise in bilateral discussions with China and Russia about what's going on in Iran, which we really haven't done yet. We talk about other issues. We don't talk about those. All of that needs to happen at the same time. And I do believe that you've got to have at least some demonstration that the administration is serious on that, by moving assets into the region that convince Iran that even when these sanctions are taking hold, you don't have too many other options left.
Are you concerned that using that particular tact puts the U.S. in a position where the military could be spread too thin, or that Americans may be a little fatigued with having soldiers overseas?
Well, certainly Americans are fatigued, and there's certainly no doubt about that. And at this point, we need to ask ourselves, and you need to have real leadership. Not talking about it on a national level, I argue, is the most unhelpful thing that you can do. Americans understand this. And if you don't talk about it at all, and the only thing that you engage in is why we ought to come home, and then clearly I think that's where Americans are going to be. We need to engage in that national dialogue about why it would be important for the president to let his surge work in Afghanistan, and it's not an open-ended thing, and it's not doesn't mean we're going to be there forever. But announcing we're pulling out and then announcing negotiations with the same group that is conducting acts of political assassination in the country is confusing And we know that the Taliban has said, well, we know that the U.S. is leaving. We just have to hold out now. So
you're referring to the Obama administration's consideration of the release of five Afghan prisoners held in Guantanamo. And this is, they hope perhaps that this would open peace talks with the Taliban.
Right. And if you remember, that sends a pretty damaging message, I think, to what we're trying to accomplish in Afghanistan. But if you don't talk to Americans about why that surge may need to hold a little longer, of course Americans want every, I mean, who doesn't want our soldiers home? Certainly, as a former military guy, I think, you know, being at home is the best option here.
As we said earlier, the Arab Spring began almost a year ago, but we see that violence in Syria continues to escalate, and the U.S. has closed its embassy there. It withdrew its staff yesterday, and the blame for this violence is being laid firmly at the feet of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. As you watch events unfold, do you see an endgame in Syria?
Well, I hope so, and I think the part of that that's missing is the involvement in Iran. The Syrian regime has been a proxy for Iran. They use Syria to funnel weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon. We know for a fact that they've used Syria to get weapon systems into Iraq. And the State Department report shows that maybe as many as 600 U.S. soldiers have been killed by Iranian proxies, and Syria being part of that. So that's why this is such an interesting problem for us all, is that we know that the Iranians want Assad propped up because they need him. And they're funneling money and weapons in order to sustain that, which we didn't see in a place like Egypt or Tunisia, and even Bahrain to some degree. We didn't see to the same level. And that's what I think has taken a problem that probably should have already been solved with a democratic rule established in Syria and held it out. And that's why the Arab League has stepped up in a way that we've never quite seen before about condemning the violence there and seeking to try to change the outcome or at least stop the violence as we change the outcome and have Assad step down.
Republican Congressman Mike Rogers serves as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and he represents Michigan's 8th District. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time.
Hey, Jen, thank you so much, and thanks for your interest.